firm a foundation, ye say.
What in the world is God doing? Do you ever wonder that? Well, welcome to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. In our travels through the whole Word of God, we land in Acts chapter 15 today when the godly men of the day are asking that same question. What is God doing? It's been called the First Church Council, held in Jerusalem around 50 AD. And speaking of 50, that's how many years Through the Bible has been on the air, and we're celebrating all year. We're glad to welcome Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, to the studio today. Greg, our study in Acts 15 begs a question. Just how do we figure out what God's doing and then how he calls us and Through the Bible to play a part of it?
Well, it's an amazing question, Steve, and it's a question I pretty much live with every day, and it's a privilege to live with it. And it's not always easy to come up with a specific, maybe scientific or formulaic answer to it, but there are principles that have guided this ministry for 50 years that God has used. And I think the first thing is we always start with the Word of God.
Yes.
You know, we spend time in the Word of God. We ask God to teach us from the Word of God. We look at our mission in view of the Word of God. We have a great mission, the whole Word to the whole world. We know that's what God wants.
Right.
And so those are very important foundations. The next really important foundation is prayer. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you pray, even once in a while, you say, God help Greg and Steve and the board of directors, we want to say thank you.
Right. And we've said, and I mentioned a lot, that that is really the most important thing that you can do in support of Through the Bible. Yes, the finances are important, but please start with prayer.
Yes, because without you praying and without us praying that God will lead us, that he will show us where to go, maybe where not to go, what to start doing, maybe even something we shouldn't do anymore so that we have resources and time to do something new. Now, this is all still a little bit abstract, so let's talk a little more specifically. A lot of what we do is spend a lot of time talking to other people in ministry. We meet with them. We talk about what's on their heart. We have people approaching us saying, we want Through the Bible in this language. You know how I love to talk about Mongolian.
Right.
And how that started. If I remember, I was in Mongolia in 2009, and I wanted to talk to Bat about Through the Bible. I wasn't even on staff at Through the Bible at the time.
Right.
And before I could even open my mouth, he said, you know, I've been thinking we need Through the Bible in Mongolia. When that kind of thing happens and you've been praying about it and God laid it on your heart and then the door opens, that's a good sign that you're on the right track.
Absolutely. That's great, Greg. And I think that's also interesting. Those are some of the same principles that we as believers should be applying to our own lives.
Without question.
Starting with prayer, starting with the Word of God, and then seeing where God directs us from there. What are some of the other principles that we followed with this ministry?
Well, another very important principle is we believe that where God guides, God provides.
Mm-hmm.
And although we don't pay a lot of attention to money, we don't talk about it a lot, we want to see God make provision when we go through a door. So we've prayed, we've studied the Word of God, we've talked to people, we think we have an open door, we go through that open door. But one of the ways he provides is not just the money to support the broadcast, it is ongoing prayer support, but it's also the people and the opportunities in these different areas of the world. Steve, I can't tell you how amazing it is that we get to broadcast in places like Mongolia, in parts of the world like Nepal or Pakistan. This is how we see God providing. We see him opening doors. Now, if all those doors slam shut, we might say, you know what, this isn't the right time to go into that country. So it's a really, really important part of how we discern God's will.
Yeah. Thank you, Greg, for that reminder. Why don't you open us in a word of prayer as we begin this study?
Father, we do want to thank you for your faithfulness to Through the Bible over 50 years. You have guided, you have provided, and we pray you'd continue to do that. And as Steve said, we also pray you would guide in our own lives as we seek to minister your word to people in our lives, and that you would provide all of the things that we need to serve your purposes in our own lives. And we pray you'll bless our hearts now as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, today we've come back to this very marvelous 15th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, we saw that the church came together under the leadership of the apostles and elders. Paul and Barnabas came down. They had now reported how that there were 100% Gentile congregations, these local churches, no longer made up of Israelites, but of Gentiles. And the question was, because there were some of the Pharisees that had been saved, some of the priests, they had no notion of giving up the law. In fact, they wanted to insist that Gentiles come in through the little wicket gate of the law. And Paul and Barnabas are not willing to give way one inch in this connection. And thank God for that, friends, because it means that we're saved by the grace of God. And Simon Peter stood up and explained that how he had been used to open up the door to the Gentiles when he went into the home of Cornelius, and that the Spirit of God had come upon them when the gospel was preached to them, and they believed. He said that they weren't circumcised. They were not under the Mosaic law, and God saved them. Now, James, who is apparently the leader in the church, since the death of James, the brother John, who'd been martyred, this man's summation of the Council of Jerusalem. Now, when you listen to it, this is one of the important passages of Scripture. And I'll begin reading to get our connection again back at verse 12, Acts 15. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, apparently after Paul and Barnabas had made their report, now as they had done to the church in Antioch, they make it now to this group, this first council, then no one else had anything to say. Even the Judaizers are pretty much silenced by what's taken place. Now notice what happens. James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me." And he means you and he means me when he says that too. That is, God means it. James is just speaking to that crowd there that day, but God says to you and me, he says, listen to this. This is important. And I think sometimes if a lot of us just listen to God and not do so much talking ourselves, and I know somebody says, point the finger at yourself, brother. Maybe I need to, but let's listen to what God has to say. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, if you want it put in a nutshell, put it in the language of Scripture, put it in the words of James here. What is God doing today in the world? Saving the world? No, no. Bringing in a kingdom? No, he's not doing that. What's he doing then? Well, he's doing what James says here. And he was merely repeating what Simon Peter had said. Take out of the Gentiles a people to his name. So that someday, before the throne of God, there will be those out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation going to be before it. And the word's getting out today, friends. Getting out today as it never has before. Oh, I know this opposition today. We're in apostasy. A member of my former church, a very wonderful man of God, came to me one day. And he said, McGee, don't be so apologetic. He says, you know, that Dr. Torrey preached to thousands of people. He went to Australia. He went to England. He went around the world. He preached the gospel. But he said, did you know that he never did have the audience that you have on radio? And that he never went to as many places at one time. Right now, friends, there are people of every color, every clime, every condition, every race, and practically of every nation that are here in this program. And actually, ours is a small network. There's some of these other very fine Christian radio programs that are on literally hundreds of stations. And they're pretty well girdling the globe today, friends. We're getting out the word. Thank God we're getting out the word today, you know. What's God doing today? He's calling out of the Gentiles, the people to his name. Not everybody that listens. I just read good letters. That's all they let me have anyway. But I just read good letters. You know, some people write and they say, ooh, terrible things about me. And things that probably are truer than the good things, but my, they're not nice at all. May I say to you, friends, that not everybody is going to accept it. Why? Because God's calling out a people out of the Gentiles to his name. Now listen to this. And to this agree the words of the prophets. You thought this was contrary to the Old Testament, didn't you? Why, it's not. James says this is something that the words of the prophets all say, as it's written. After this, after what? After he calls out a people to his name, after he calls out of the Gentiles, a people to his, after God calls out the church out of this world, and friends, he's calling out individuals today, and one of these days he'll call the church out of this world. That's the rapture. And that's the next thing on the agenda of God. After this, after he gets through with the church, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And friends, it's fallen down today. There's nobody around in the line of David at all. The only one today that has claim is sitting yonder at God's right hand at this very moment, which has fallen down. And he says, I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That's what God's going to do. He's going to send Jesus. He says to him today, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. I think God actually is calling out a people to his name, and he's bringing all the enemies of Christ, and they're going to be put underfoot, friend. The rebellion's going to be over one of these days. And the word out today is that the Spirit of God is saying, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of man, the second step, I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I'll set it up. Here's the program of God, calling the people out of the world. His second step with the world is, he'll build again the line of David. The only one that's got any claims to it is the Lord Jesus. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles. Now, today's calling out of the Gentiles of people, in that day, all the Gentiles. I think that the greatest time of turning to God is yet in the future, after the church leaves this earth. All the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And these are the ones that will enter the kingdom. You see that this is the third step of God, that the residue of man might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles. Now, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now, listen to this man, James, now, as he hands down, not only summing it up, but he hands down now a decision, and a very important decision. And this decision is simply this. Wherefore my sentence is, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Now, he says, let's write unto the Gentiles that are turned to God, and that we do not attempt to put them under the Mosaic system, and that they are to be courteous. They must remember that a great many of the Israelites are offended about eating meat that had been offered to idols. Now, I'll go into that in 1 Corinthians about this matter of eating meat. You see, in that day, what the Gentiles did, especially in Corinth, was they would offer to the gods their best lamb or their best animal, or whatever it might be. But they were pretty clever. They took it in, made an offering of it. And so the gods that were spiritual, they ate just a spiritual animal. So they went in and got the meat again. And they had a meat market in the temple. And if you wanted to get the best steaks in that day, the filet mignons and the porterhouse steak and the New York cut, that's where you went. The local meat market didn't have good meat, but you'd get it there. So the Gentiles, they weren't offended by that. Didn't make any difference to them where the meat came from. But the Israelite in that day was offended by it. That had been offered to idols. He'd been brought up that way. And so the thought is, when you have a Jewish brother over for dinner, don't offend him by bringing in something that's been offered to idols. It may be a lovely filet mignon. But when you have me over for dinner, friends, let's have the fillets. I like them. And it wouldn't make any difference who they'd been offered to, far as I was concerned. But somebody else might be offended, you see. Now, notice what he says, that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication. And you notice that? Adultery in that day was something that they didn't mind committing. The Gentiles lived in it. In fact, it was a religious rite. By the way, we're going back to paganism today. We talk about the new morality and the idea of sex, sex, sex. My friend, that was a religion long time ago. Our ancestors, when they came out of the woods, half naked, eating raw meat, they had a new morality also. And the closer people get to God, they'll get right on this matter of sex, by the way. And adultery will be wrong. And that's the thing, they're to abstain from these things, and from things strangling from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas. By the way, notice that man Silas. He's going to be a partner with Paul, chief among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. Listen to this. This is so lovely. Oh, today, if Christians could learn to act like Christians were intended to act. Listen to this. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. These are the Gentiles that turn to God. They send to them this lovely letter. For as much as we've heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. They have no authority to give you that line at all. And anybody tries to put you under law, friends, just doesn't have the authority of the Word of God. Verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Isn't that lovely? And now they say, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, what have you suffered for him? What has it cost you to follow him? If it's not costing you anything, and if it hasn't caused you to take a stand in order that you might give the Word of God out, I want to say this to you very candidly. I personally don't want to listen to you because you have many things to say to me. The church there says these men have hazarded their lives. You listen to them. Now, verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by our mouth. Now, we're not just letting Paul and Barnabas come back and tell you, because you would say, well, of course, they'd bring back that kind of report. We're sending a couple of our brethren along to confirm what they're going to tell you. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Isn't that lovely? To lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, from things strangled, from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare you well. That's all we got to say to you. Isn't that lovely, friends? What a lovely note this is. Now, verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they'd gathered the multitude together, remember, friends, the church was a big thing then. The multitude came together. They delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. You know, there's consolation and comfort in the gospel, friends. There's nothing but condemnation in the law. The law condemns me. The law is a mirror. When I look in it, I say, oh, McGee, you're ugly. McGee, you've fallen short of the glory of God. But the gospel says, come on to God. He wants to receive you, and he can save you by grace. It comforts us, you see. Now, we find here, And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Silas and Paul got along. Silas said, I like this fellow Paul. I'm going to stay with him. And he stayed there at the church in Antioch. And maybe he liked the idea that they were serving pork at the Gentile table, by the way. Maybe like that. I don't know. But he stayed. Verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Actually, Barnabas and Paul were the pastors of the church, but now it's Paul and Barnabas. And some days after now, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again, visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord, see how they do. Paul had a concern for the churches. He had a concern for the believers, and he didn't trust those Galatians too much anyway. So he said, let's go back and visit them, Barnabas. And Barnabas, listen to this. Now, Barnabas, generous fellow that he is, but I want to say this about him. When he made up his mind, he's pretty hard-headed also. After all, we're all human beings, aren't we, friends? And we all still have that old nature, and sometimes you should be hard-headed and take a stand. Notice, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now notice, but Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now, Paul has some convictions also. Paul says, no, won't take him. And Barnabas says, we will take him. Say, I'm glad these two brethren had this little altercation, because it does reveal to me they're human. It reveals to me that even a saint sometimes can disagree without being disagreeable. It didn't break up anything. This wasn't the beginning of two different churches in Antioch. They just disagreed. And it's all right to disagree with some of the brethren. I've always felt that I don't mind them disagreeing. I just pray that sometimes they're going to see the light as I see it. That's all. Well, maybe I'll see the light as they see it, too, by the way. Now, notice these two men are disagreeing. Verse 39. Now, you think this is small? Listen to this. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, sailed unto Cyprus. And we never follow Barnabas any longer. Now, he went to Cyprus where they had a great ministry, and that was the place that Barnabas had come from. He had a desire to take the gospel to his people, and we know from tradition he had a great ministry there. And from Cyprus, a great ministry was carried on in North Africa. Well, he sails off the page of Scripture here, and there's silence. And we do not know about his ministry. From here on, we're going to follow Paul. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Now the church has two mission projects now where they only had one before. And Barnabas is going one direction and Paul going another direction. This is God's method. God will use this. Paul chose Silas and the brethren recommended them, and both are missionaries. Now verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. And if you follow on your map, the second missionary journey that we have, you will notice that he went by land, apparently, from Antioch. He went on up into Syria and Cilicia, and then he came over to the Galatian country again, Derbe, Lystra, and Antioch. And we are going now, next time, to follow Paul and Silas on the second missionary journey. And I do not know about you. I love to travel, and I love to travel with Paul. Because if you're going to travel with him, and I think with any Christian, you're going to have a good time and there's going to be excitement. If there's anything that's, to me, almost unpardonable, it is a dull, uninteresting Christian. My friend, things ought to be happening around you if you're a child of God. You ought to be in some sort of movement getting this word out. Say we're going to have a good time following Paul from now on. And this will be the cheapest trip you could be able to take in the summertime for your vacation. Why not come go along with us? We run a Bible bus, by the way. We'll go by bus, but Paul's going to walk most of the way, but get on the bus and let's go through the Bible together, not just with Paul. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Yes, we're so glad for your company on the Bible bus. And we'll be here again tomorrow, picking up our journey with the Apostle Paul. By the way, if you miss any of these studies, just go online and you've got a variety of ways that you can catch up with us on the broadcast, or even study another book of the Bible on your own. So if you'd like some help navigating your options, just give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, as you know, we'd love to hear from you. So email us anytime and tell us how God is using our studies together to bless you. Or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host and fellow passenger on the Bible bus, and I'll be here tomorrow, saving you a seat. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.